Pod Culture, Episode 197, Quantum of Geekness, Part A, for Monday, March 8th, 2010. No, we haven't died and gone to heaven. It's Pod Culture 197. I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Christina.
And I'm Adam.
Ow. Ow. What do you mean, ow?
It could have been worse.
Bad just keeps getting worse.
Well, it could have been worse.
I don't
somehow.
Know.
Somehow.
Okay, don't even be making dragging on my puns here because, dude, yeah, yeah. As bad as I am, he's worse.
Yeah, I don't forgive either one of you. I'm sorry.
So, what has everyone been up to?
Sweeps, ratings.
He's flying all the time now.
Yeah, we flew, I don't know, in the month of February, we flew 40 hours. So, like a whole work week of up in the air, you know?
Fun.
So, yeah. It was pretty cool, but a little tiring. I'm glad that Sweeps is over and my life can resume.
But it's cold up there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of cold.
Because it's cold down here. I'm sure it's cold up there, too.
Well, no, heat rises, though.
Yeah, but when you're, you know,
you do get
flying
colder
at a speed.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, it's not the newest helicopter in the world. It's not exactly airtight, so you get going
drafty.
Fast.
Oh, God.
It's kind of drafty. Now, there is a heater. There's no air conditioning, but there is a heater.
Irony.
Because it just kind
of... You don't want ice on the blades.
Yeah. It kind of vents air from the engine.
That's cool.
But then it's kind of like it's a hot or it's cold. You know, you got a choice. Do you want to be hot or do you want to be cold?
Yeah.
You know, it's
not really like, not much of an in between there, I guess, with that.
No. So, that's what I've been doing. A lot of that and not much else.
Adam?
I've just been working. It's been kind of a crazy week.
You're actually working? You didn't take any days off or anything like that?
No, I worked a good solid 2 weeks, like, without any days off.
Well, now that you've earned up another day, you know, you're going to have to take some of it.
I know. Well, I've actually been thinking about it. It's like, I think I'm due for a day off soon. So
you might want to hold off on those days off because I might have a really good way for you to spend them.
Oh, we like these people. We don't want to know.
Oh. Oh, I have many, many hours. No matter how many days of vacation I could take, I will still have many, many days off.
Many, many.
Still. So, but
it's one
been
of the
fun.
Things I like where we work. It's like they accumulate over time. Mm-hmm. It's not like you get a big chunk and you use them and they're gone.
You have to use them for the year, and then they're gone.
Yeah, but you have, you know, you get so many each pay period, so even if you use up a whole week now, you know, in a few more months, you'll have another whole week.
They can back up to like 160 hours.
Something like that,
vacation
vacation
time.
It kind of works out the same, really, though.
It was the same amount of time, but you don't have to worry that, oh my God, I took 2 weeks and now I'm out of time, you know?
But you also, if you wanted to take it sooner, you could have those 2 weeks to take rather than having to wait for 2 weeks to build up.
That's true.
So. Yep.
It's or you can sit there and let 2 weeks accumulate and then take it all.
Yeah. My hire date comes up at the end of the month, so I've got to use up my vacation time or it goes away.
Oh, yours goes by your hire date?
Yeah.
That's weird because then they would have to keep track of everybody's individually.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if there's some illogical way of doing it, that's the way they're going to choose.
Wow.
Yeah. See, ours is... your seniority and however many weeks and stuff that you get are set by however long you've been there. And, of course, that's by your hire date. Mm-hmm. But your time just resets January 1.
That just sucks. You earned it. That just sucks.
And what makes it worse, if you don't use it, you lose it. There are some extenuating circumstances.
Last year I was able to carry 2 days over, so I've got those extra days. But they apparently changed their mind on that. So this time around, if you don't use it, you'll get paid for it.
Well, that's good.
So at least you don't totally
lose
it.
Yeah, I mean, at least that's something.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's better than totally losing it. But I'd rather be able to carry it over and have the time off.
Right, just in case.
You'd be off work and still get paid.
Yeah. I
mean, right.
I don't know.
True. Anything else? You, Christina, what you been up to?
Not much. Same things you were, basically. Yeah, not much. I've been getting home so late. By the time I get home, it's like, okay, have dinner maybe and... Watch a little something, get the stuff ready, you know, to wear for tomorrow and time to go to bed.
You lead an exciting life, don't you?
It's been taking 2 hours to get home. Like, twice this week, it took me 2 hours to get home.
Yuck.
Turk 3 is a little crazy this week, I guess.
Sometimes they're really great, but it's like, holy crap, they picked me up at 5 o'clock from work, and it was like 5 to 7 the other night when I walked in the door.
Yeah.
Like, I could have been to Cincinnati and had dinner.
That is late.
Is it because they're cutting some stops?
No, I guess it seems to be the pattern that after your taxes come back, a lot of people think they don't need to work or need to take some time off. So they have, you know, fewer drivers having to, you know, take the same amount of shifts and split them up, you know, amongst each other.
Yeah. TARC and TARC 3 are kind of, they're related, but they're kind of separate from each other in a lot of ways.
Yeah. You know,
cutting regular TARC routes really shouldn't affect TARC 3 routes all that much.
Since there aren't actually any fixed routes for TARC 3.
Yeah.
Just, it just depends on who's getting picked up where.
Crazy drivers who eat chicken and collard greens while they're driving.
I have not seen her since that day.
That's good. You want to share that?
Oh, yeah. Well, sure.
Yeah.
I was on the way home one day, and this lady, okay, yes, I understand they are terribly overbooked, but, and sometimes they schedule, you know, things through their lunch hour. Okay, fine. So you pick up a little something that's easy to eat on, you know, as you're going, no problem.
A wrap, a taco.
No problem at all. No, no. She had an entire, like, three-course meal set up on the dashboard. She had, like, a little thing of mashed potatoes, which she was eating, fork in one hand, potatoes in the other, while she's driving.
Was she steering with her boobs?
You drive with
she
my
could
knees.
Have. She could have. And there were chicken legs and potatoes and some other thing I couldn't identify. And
probably don't want to identify.
Yeah, no. And it's like... Yeah, no. And, you know, as she's going, she's complaining how she doesn't want to pick up this one kid at the school for the blind because she couldn't find the entrance. She didn't know which entrance.
For the blind.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, there's like three different entrances.
It's like the blind leading the blind.
No, there's like three different entrances, and she didn't feel like going around to each one to find this kid. I mean, literally like a 12-year-old. So she wasn't going to pick him up. She was just going to leave him there. So I'm like,
yeah.
I don't complain about much. We kind of balanced each other out, you know, you and I.
Hey.
You complain about a lot, and I don't complain unless I have to. That was true.
Hey!
You're going to prove it right here shortly, though. Uh-huh. Sure.
No, because she's already gone on record as agreeing with you. Y'all have read, but you're backing me up.
Anyway, on the way home, like the last straw was kind of as she's on my street, she's throwing her used chicken leg bones out the window as she's driving. I actually called and complained about her. I'm like, I don't complain unless I fear for my safety. And this poor kid and I are on the bus going, she's just okay. But I have not seen her
since
then.
Why didn't you tell her to put the damn chicken leg down?
I did take a picture with my phone in case they had questioned me about my complaint of her in the same frame as the no eating or drinking on the bus sign.
You still have that picture somewhere?
I'm sure I do.
There you go.
Because I don't delete anything off my phone.
What you said is like album art or something.
Yeah. Like you can see her with the chicken, you know, next to the no eating or drinking on the bus sign.
Nom, nom, nom. Nom,
like I could see, you know, like a milkshake, something easy to eat and drive.
Soft taco. Cause
something.
You know,
yeah. French fries, something.
Mm-hmm. Pizza and a beer.
If you have to use a fork as you're driving, there's a problem.
Some wine.
Yeah.
Some shots.
But I don't, yeah, I don't complain about that kind of thing unless I fear for my safety. And that particular day, I was a little concerned.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's encouraging that you haven't seen her again. Maybe they've... Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking maybe that was like the last straw and I don't know.
Which, I mean, kicked her to the curb.
I feel bad that, you know, I could be, you know, a contributing factor to anybody losing their job. But when you know what you're not supposed to do, that, you know, grievously outside the line, there's a problem.
I fly over wrecks all the time.
Sure.
Especially, and I've been flying lately, this last week, over lots of people running into school buses.
What? Like,
yeah, of course, anytime someone runs into a school bus, we fly because it's big news, you know. But I mean, it's big and it's yellow.
Oh
and
it, how the hell can lights. You miss it?
How did you hit this school bus?
Oh
but I see
gosh,
it all the time. I've seen at least 3 school bus wrecks this week.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I've been almost hit by a school bus before.
Yeah.
Especially like on Bardstown Road, you know, because they've got those skinny ass.
The lanes.
And where they want to come over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's almost happened on more than one occasion. I've had to lock them up a couple of times.
That's just so wrong. I've seen a lot of school bus drivers on cell phones, and that's kind of scares me.
Why not? All the kids are doing it on the bus.
Yeah, but the kids aren't driving.
Well, they figure, what the hell?
Oh, my God.
Hell,
you know.
It makes me, you know what? I do say this a lot, but it makes me glad I don't have kids. To have to worry about some nut driving them to school, not paying attention.
That'd be kind of a trick. No,
I could adopt children.
Yeah, but you
I could go to the UK.
Hard to be surprised by one now.
No,
surprise adoption.
She shows up at my doorstep.
Congratulations!
<"Mommy!"> Yeah. No, I'm convinced that someday we're going to find out that my sister's really my child.
You clone.
She really is my little clone. She's my mini-me.
Anything else?
I am eagerly awaiting the mailman on Tuesday.
Oh, yes.
I'm
going to
leap on him because...
You better not.
It depends on how good...
I will have to hurt him.
Because the soundtrack for Love Never Dies comes out. It is the sequel musical to The Phantom of the Opera. And to anybody who knows me, that is my Green Lantern. You know, that to me is like the Green Lantern to you. If you'd see my room at home... Okay, prior to it being Eric's bedroom, it looked like this, only with Phantom stuff.
That looks like this? Like the, looks real well on an audio podcast.
Well, anybody who's heard the podcast has heard her tale of the greenness of the office.
And there's been more than a few people in here, too.
Yes, but yeah. So I'm excited, and I'm having a CD sent to my mom, too, so we can listen on the same day and then talk about it, because that's our thing together.
Did you send her the Fat Ass edition?
Oh, hell yeah!
Okay,
and the book.
And, oh, it's right. Phantom of Man. Based it's on Phantom of Manhattan?
Based on the Phantom of Manhattan by Frederick Forsyth.
Yeah. I read it. It's interesting.
Well, it's, you know, it was a collaborative effort between Andrew Lloyd Webber and Frederick Forsyth. So, yeah, he was involved in the whole creation.
It's the idea of a sequel musical.
Mm-hmm.
We saw how well this happened with Grease.
Ironically enough, the guy that played Michael in Grease 2 had read the audiobook of Phantom of Manhattan.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Oh, so that connection, smart-ass, actually works.
Uh-huh, all that right. Works. That doesn't often happen.
No, it doesn't.
I'm excited.
I haven't been up to a whole hell of a lot other than looks like we're probably going to go looking for a new apartment.
We're moving.
Yeah, moving on up.
To the east.
To the sunny side, probably. You guys have heard me bitch and complain before about our landlord and their, well, let's say less than thorough repairs.
Their lackadaisical maintenance habits.
I think the term I put in the letter was half-assed.
Well, I know that's the term I've used. I don't know if that's the term you put in the letter.
Or, no, I think shoddy. I think
shoddy.
I used shoddy.
Yeah, it was shoddy.
Wasn't it Saturday Night Live, Gonna Kill My Landlord? Remember that? It was a long time ago.
You know, when we last recorded, I can't remember if I mentioned it on the podcast or not, but we had the I guess, the water issue from the apartment upstairs.
Again.
Oh, this is about 6th time now or something.
4th since I've been here.
Yeah. Wow. And they finally came out to repair it, but instead of replacing the whole ceiling, which they should have, they cut out just one little section.
God knows how much of that up there is like all rotted in, all rotted through. Mm-hmm.
Which, had they done it correctly, might not have been all that bad. But where the two pieces of drywall meet, one, you can see one the older stuff sits a little lower. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe it was all the water damage that has been up there before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not hugely gross. I mean, this place is still light years better than the one I lived in Little Tijuana.
Stop it.
Just saying, I was very much a minority in that neighborhood. Nothing wrong with it.
The opinions kinda like of Brad California. Boyer are not the opinions of Pod Culture or 4.0.
No, I'm saying, the neighbors weren't bad, except the one that lived upstairs at that place. I mean, that place in there, the two apartments were about the same age, so these have been better maintained, but it's still pretty damn crappy overall. Where they cut out just half the ceiling, just where the, I guess the main damage was, put up another piece of drywall.
Spackled it in.
But where the old stuff meets the new stuff, not only does the old stuff sit down lower, there's about a half an inch gap between the two pieces of drywall.
It's a Dutchman job.
Yeah. So rather than put up some like plaster compound or, even like another strip of drywall to put up there, no, they just put up some drywall tape, did the plaster sanding over that. And then spackled.
Theater people?
Yeah.
It's a Dutchman job.
Yeah, it's pretty crappy. And so to top all that off, they left pretty much most of the mess, where they cut the drywall and hacked it up to bits, I guess, right out on the porch. So there was just drywall, plaster, mess.
See, maybe most of it was gone when I got home because I didn't see all the stuff that you saw.
There was a fair bit of it. Most of it was ended up being off to the side. A lot of the stuff on the stoop was the drywall dust and crap that I was able to kind of shake off. But just a point that they didn't even bother to clean up.
Well, I just remember the last time that it happened. And okay, just to clarify, it's not like trickle, 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 No, it's water pouring from the ceiling.
Yeah, when I got home, I guess it was Friday. The Friday when we recorded last, there was about a half inch of brackish water on the floor of my bathroom.
It's disgusting.
Which, okay, it's not really going to hurt the floor because it's a freaking tile floor.
I'd be looking for Jennifer Connelly.
Seriously. Hey, ladies. No, I'd be attacking her for other reasons. I'm like, David Bowie touched you. Can I just touch you? Okay, never mind.
Carry on.
Okay. I'm thinking Rocketeer.
Aw, she's so dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty gross.
Yeah. So I finally had it out with the man with the one of the managers down at the Realty place.
I'm really glad I was not home for
no,
all that.
You would not like to have been.
I would have probably had to just hit you to knock you out to make it stop.
And we went round and round, and he pretty much said, you don't really pay enough fin rent
because
they have a, I guess, kind of an unwritten policy for the most part. I haven't really seen anything. Is that when you move in, you're on a year lease. Then after that, you're month to month, but they don't jack up your rent. Now, we've gone online, the one bedrooms kind of rent for about what we're paying for the two and dining room sized ones here. So, yeah, they're probably one that gets out.
It's just the point that you pay your rent in full on time every month for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
That should count for something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That should really count for something.
Yeah, I moved in about a year and a half before we started doing the show.
Because for all the things I've talked to you out of complaining about or the things we should complain about but don't.
Mm-hmm.
And,
there was quite a few things that when we did the walkthrough when I moved in that still have not been stuff. It's real minor stuff.
It's just the
chips
point.
The chips in the enamel on like the sink, the wall where the wall next to where the stove is, things like that. Nothing huge.
Just little things.
No, that I really don't care too much about. But I went through and noted down everything.
We've only complained about the stuff that's caused major damage.
Yeah, like the fact that why now. From there's about 2 feet of plastic lining the closets here in the studio, because the studio and the bathroom share a common wall. What's in the closets? My comic books.
Yes.
The last time it happened, the water was leaking so badly, it had leaked from the bathroom ceiling all the way into the hallway ceiling, and the water was coming out the light fixture.
Oh, nice.
It was dripping. Oh.
And what was her reply?
Why don't you put a piece of tape over the light switch so nobody accidentally turns it on? Seriously. Yeah.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to do, is what she said.
Yeah.
Maintenance person, I don't know. I'll be nice. Not nice to her, but nice to everybody else who you're just about to offend.
Okay. Let's just say she's a very manly woman, and the term bull comes to mind. Okay, you see where I'm going with this?
She's a little bit scary.
Yeah, she's very mannish.
And usually when... If I'm home when all this happens, I try to temper some of what goes on just so they don't hate us.
Yeah, she butts in and takes over the conversation. And,
yeah. PR.
Hmm. Yeah. She is the manager of the show.
But I just... I'm the relationship manager. But I let him go on this one because she's just not nice, because I've tried to be nice to her and she's just not nice.
To the point where I slammed the door in her face because she goes, like, no, you need to fix the shit right, or, you know.
I mean, and I know there are a lot of other worse places in the, you know, I know that, you know, where we are is nice compared to a lot of places, but I just don't understand. If you own a property... And it keeps happening the same way in the same place. Why not want to fix your own property?
Well my phrase was fucking evict them. How many times has this shit happened now?
And it took the toilet in the landlord's own house breaking for him to realize that that's what the cause of.
Yeah, apparently it's just the design of this lower flow thing is what was causing the commode part, but the tank in the back to back up and overflow. And the only reason he came out to replace that was,
he realized that
the one in his office did the same thing finally, and they finally came out and replaced it.
I just don't get, if you own a piece of property and it's costing you so much to have it fixed every time it breaks, why not just fix it?
Fix the problem, don't put a Band-Aid on
it. Exactly.
And the 3-day job is supposed to come in on Tuesday to start the repairs, Tuesday after we recorded last. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? So it's been done. It was the following Monday. This week?
Because we still haven't rehung all our stuff up.
Yeah. Before they was actually finally painted and all that crap. They still didn't do all that great of a job on it, but...
It's not as bad as I was expecting, though, after all that.
We've had it, and we're looking at new studio for the show.
Oh, you have so much crap.
Yes, I do.
A very, very small fraction of any of this is actually mine.
Glenn's known me for a while, so. So we're looking for a new place, and might be moving back to Indiana. So that's where the two leading possibilities have been, which probably be really good for Glenn, not so great for Adam. So.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But at least if you stop by after work, it's close. It's
we'll get you a key to the place.
There you go. Exactly. Centrally. One place is pretty damn swanky.
Yeah. The New Omni place?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The one in New Omni looks fairly decent. We're going to go look at that tomorrow, and we got a place in Clarksville to look at tomorrow.
Appointments tomorrow to go look. But I hate looking for stuff. Like, okay, I don't even like making huge decisions for myself, let alone ones that involve other people. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at these apartments going, okay, one, I'm from Brook Park, Ohio. What the hell do I know about Southern Indiana property?
You know something? Mm-hmm. Having been to Brook Park and having lived in New Omni, there's not a lot of difference between the two types.
No,
towns.
It looks the same, but I mean, like, to know what's a nicer neighborhood, what's a nicer street to live on, what's around there, I have no idea.
Again, it's just look, see what you like. For example, there was the one that she said, you know, in New Omni. And Glenn's the only one that's going to get this one.
I'm just looking at
University
pictures.
University Woods. That sounds good. No.
But I'm just looking at pictures. How do I know where anything is? You need to be looking, too.
Those are the ones where a lot of the IUS frats
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I never think so. I could
at least when I was in frat, all the, most of the guys that were in Theta.
Which still blows me away that you were ever in a frat.
Glenn!
I can't. It's like Leonard and Sheldon being in a frat. I just don't get it.
And not sci-fi.
Yeah, I never was.
Exactly. Which I always thought would have been a great Greek, great geek Greek for eternity or something. Anyway.
Well, Adam came up with the really good ones.
What?
All the good Greek fraternities for geeks. We should have written those down, Adam.
Gamma, Eta, Eta, Kappa or something like that? Or
something
was it
like that. Like something? You spelled them
okay,
all out.
Okay, I'm like, okay. All right. I think on that note, it's enough bitching and complaining, at least on my end.
So if you have any good moving tips, email us.
Yeah. A lot of paper boxes being taken from work.
Yeah, we've,
Yeah, because it'll be easier to like pack the U-Haul or something if all the boxes are the same damn size.
Yep.
And plus, a lot of the stuff we have is little stuff like action figures and
books,
you know,
and
books,
CDs
stuff that'll easily fit in boxes
of
like that.
Crap. Yep. So,
you could just scan all the books and then just take them on a CD-ROM.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh God, no! Oh. I like the dead tree books.
Just kidding.
You know, the disposable stuff like some of the Star Trek books. You know, I wouldn't mind if I could get them for like the Kindle app or an actual Kindle or something. It'd be kind of cool.
I think it's funny though because you're asking me, you know, what kind of things I'm looking for in an apartment. I'm like, okay, I want an outlet, an electrical outlet in the bathroom, and a washer dryer hookup. That's all I care about. I don't care about anything else. I don't care. I just want a washer dryer hookup and an outlet. I've never lived anywhere where there's no outlet in the bathroom. How do
you know that?
Hand?
That is one thing that I do miss a little bit because it would always been good for stuff. So let's take a break, but stay tuned because not only do we have a Hulk DVD contest coming up in Pod Culture 200,
we quite possibly have the coolest contest we've ever had.
Yeah, well, no, it is the coolest contest that we've had. So. No, quite to this one. This one is very
so much cooler.
Very cool.
Yeah, Glenn and I still don't know. What this one is.
Yeah, I've kept this guy in, kept the guys in the dark. Christina only knows because well, she lives here. So
and you were glowing when the mail
very,
came. So yeah,
very cool. And we will be back with more about that right after this.
I'm Jen Geffinger.
I'm Kevin Batchelder.
And I'm Kurt Geffinger. And we are the Seeker Cast. A podcast for fans of the TV series Legend of the Seeker. We are a community-based podcast that works to keep you up to date on some of the best news, forum discussions, and interviews in the Seeker fandom. We also do a recap and in-depth discussion of each episode.
I thought it was very rich, the story. I was afraid it was going to be a little trite, but this really played out to be a very powerful episode in my mind.
The whole episode did kind of stay one step ahead. I felt like I kept having to catch up and try and figure out what was going on, which I like that. It's not predictable, so that made me very happy the way it was done.
And also, you know, correcting the mistake they made on the Sisters of the Light in Season 1. That was the only thing of Season 1 that I cannot forgive.
It's okay, though, because we're staying focused on the series, right, Kurt?
So tune in to the SeekerCast at theseekercast.com or subscribe through iTunes.
Anyone else want to question my orders?
FTL, you have a go.
And we are back.
Welcome back.
And you had some giveaways and stuff here on Pod Culture before.
A little thing here, a little thing there.
Yeah, a little thing there. Well, we've got something pretty damn cool. And Christina and I both know what this is. And I've only given the guys one clue. Or three, if you want to get technical.
Oh.
The letters Q, M, and X.
And can I tell you guys how much I love you all?
You guys are awesome, QMX.
Yes. Very, very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
We love you.
Yeah, we've sent quite a bit of money their way.
And we'll be sending more because we want more stuff.
Yeah, I bought a few things
actually,
from them, too.
Yeah, actually, I want one of these.
I want the Dr. Horrible.
I want one of these. They made a tweet about it and showed a picture, and I made the comment that... I wish I could afford one of these for review.
For review.
No, to review. I'm just because I like to talk about it because, you know, you need to have one in hand.
Right, and
I like
to see it up close.
Well, I got it to be back. You know, like to one giveaway on the show, which we have.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
it is very cool. It is the most awesome thing that we have done on the show. Unfortunately, it is not the big damn replica. So it's not the big damn Serenity thing.
Or I would have it.
Yeah, I think there would be some fights in the studio about this.
I would Don't worry. You all.
No, I would take pictures.
But it is from a fandom that is very near and dear to Christina and I's. Well, actually, to all of us. A heart. And it's one of their latest things. Actually, the latest thing from this line, if I'm not mistaken.
It's super shiny.
From the Stargate line.
Ooh.
Hmm. And you know how they did the F-302 model and everything?
No.
Yeah.
No. We have the Gould Glider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, this is scale replica of the Gould Death Glider, and this thing is awesome.
Wow.
So, it's absolutely gorgeous.
So it's, here guys, take a look at the box. Guess what? It ain't a box.
This is the box.
Don't do that. You scared me.
Yeah, was kind of the basic intention.
I know, but how?
Yeah, it comes with a nice display base and everything.
I do love the display base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hand cast and hand painted, this screen accurate replica of the Gould Death Glider from Stargate SG-1 comes with a detailed diorama base that includes a miniature Stargate and DHD.
Yeah,
I love it.
A little tiny DHD on it.
It makes me happy.
The gate's about the size of a quarter.
Limited to just 1,500 replicas, this individually numbered work of art comes complete with a certificate of authenticity.
Look at the little teeny DHD. I love it.
Oh, that is awesome.
It's kind of hard to pass around.
Look
put
at
together.
The detail.
I think my favorite part is the base.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Get the green hillside and the gate.
And the little Stonehenge looking.
The big old the slabs that's coming in.
Yeah, careful hitting those buttons. You might dial the planet there. I mean, it is that detailed. You can look and see the Earth symbols and stuff that are on the thing.
Wow.
And then it's got a nice acrylic pole to put into the base and then set the glider on.
It's gorgeous.
I mean, you can even look into the cockpit of this thing and see the
figures.
Does it come with a little
teeny little controls?
General Hammond?
No.
Going yeehaw in the back.
Do you see the bottom? It's individually numbered on the bottom of the base.
It's gorgeous.
Number 95 of 1,500. Yes.
Boy, but, there's a lucky listener that I'm going to
be... We're not going to keep this here at the studio as much as we would like to.
I'm going
to
be jealous of...
Want to win this very awesome thing, and I will maybe see if we can...
Sorry if you don't enter, trust me.
Yeah. See if we can take some pictures.
We will.
Yes.
And in the meantime, go to...
Yeah, email... Oh,
You can go to the Quantum Mechanics site.
And hit the little Stargate SG-1 button, and that's like the first thing on that list.
If you can make it past the cool front page with all the neat new stuff, go to the Stargate page and take a look at this, because you will not be sorry.
That is just awesome.
Yeah, it is very, very
cool. It's a piece of art. It's gorgeous.
But if you want to win one, you need email contest@podculture.net. And we will announce the winner of this kick-ass cool piece of Stargate swag in episode 200.
It's not swag, it's art. It really is. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. Just look at the paint applications and then the etchings and the details on there. There's, open the box up, Glenn. There's a card on the top of the box that has a pretty neat description of... Of their
to make
the, certificate
any Stargate
authenticity.
Fan squee.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. It's the Gold Death Glider Collector Scale Replica. Hand-cast and hand-painted, this screen-accurate replica of the Gold Death Glider from Stargate SG-1 comes with a detailed diorama base that we've...
That we love.
I'm sorry, Adam's flying the glider around. comes with a miniature Stargate and DHD limited to 1,500 replicas.
And this is number 95 for 1,500.
And it's individually numbered work of art. Comes with a complete certificate of authenticity.
They're not kidding, work of art.
Even the certificate of authenticity is pretty slick. It's the back of it looks totally black, but if you look, it's got like almost blueprint.
Oh,
of the glider. And then it's got a pre-shot on the front of the with the glider, you know, but it tells exactly what it is, the quote actual length and specs of
which I think is really cool.
Yeah. So the technical specifications for a Gold Death Glider. How they measured this, I don't know, but it's awesome. Length, 27.99 meters. Width, 45.9 meters.
It should be in cubits.
Noah.
Yeah.
The height is 15.76 meters. And then the replica is 13 centimeters in length, width of 20.4, and the height is 5.5. And, I mean, even to the point of telling you what the hull's made out of, what kind of fuel it uses.
I love that.
It wow. is very,
That's
very
pretty detailed.
I really awesome. Like the sheen of the uh-huh. paint job on
the,
it.
The
kind yeah. of
quasi-metallic yeah. look mm-hmm. to it.
The alien metallic mm-hmm. look to it, yeah.
That I is like just awesome.
I like the scale of the ship as opposed to the Stargate on the base. You know, you see how huge it would be.
Yeah, this thing actually, it looks like it flew off the screen. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It is that damn cool. And this, the detail in paint is amazing on this. This is like the first, I guess, replica type thing that we've gotten from mm-hmm. them. You know, we've got the little damn heroes, which are awesome.
Mm-hmm. And the prints. Yep.
And the prints. We got the Fruity Odie Bar poster print, which is framed and hadn't put up yet.
When we move, it'll get a place of honor.
And then, yeah, like they said, those cartoon prints. Mm-hmm. Which
the animated
still
prints,
get.
Yes.
The Marion Call CD, which has been awesome.
I can't even tell you how many times we've listened to her. We love her so much.
Yeah. And then, of course, I think one of their very first things was the Alliance currency, mm-hmm. the currency pack, which is very, very neat.
Everything
well.
They do is so fantastic. And they're such great guys.
Yeah. So if you don't win, it's well worth picking up. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it retails for about $100, I think.
But for
I'm not sure.
a piece of art like that.
Vamp for a minute, guys. I'll double check.
And for how much love has gone into it.
Yeah, this yeah. is...
That's the thing.
Yeah, the detail of this thing is quite amazing. The paint job, the interior.
It's made for geeks by geeks.
Yep. Yep, pretty
who,
much.
Who appreciate all the little bits and pieces that mm-hmm. you appreciate.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. I want one.
Yeah, coming soon, so... Technically, it's not even out yet.
It's not even available yet. But we get to look at it until we get to give it to you.
I'm holding it right now.
Even if you don't win one for less than one bedroom in Franklin, if you're in the U.S., $99.95, you can get your own, too.
All right.
But
I do love them.
If you want to win one for free, and I think, and I am going to have to do this, the one negative to it, probably going to have to be within the continental U.S. because we're going to ship it.
Shippings and stuff. Yeah.
So it's because it's not going to be cheap to ship. Ship and ship correctly.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah.
Right. To ship gently.
Yeah.
Well packaged.
We work near a UPS. We know what happens.
Oh, no. It will come to you perfect
oh, yeah.
and loved.
I've got plenty of bubble wrap. Trust me. So it... Yeah, in the continental U.S., but I do apologize for listeners that are not
unless you're outside the U.S. and would like to come pick it up.
There you go. Or we can work something out. But you need email contest@podculture.net. And in the subject line, since we got two contests going on, in the subject line, put QMX and SG1. And then include your mailing name and mailing address in the email. And we will draw a winner, pick a winner on episode 200 coming up pretty soon. So don't waste any time, guys.
And you know what? If you think about it when you're emailing us with your contest entry, go on to the QMX site and tell me what your favorite thing on their site is. Because, I mean, I like, you know, certain things more than others. And you like the little damn heroes. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your favorite thing on their site?
There you go.
I'm just curious. I'd like to know these kind of things.
And we will probably be... You probably got about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
And tell your friends. Or don't tell your friends so you can win and go, la, 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 la.
That's competition, right?
Yeah. Wow. I'm still amazed at this thing.
So let's see. We will need to know by Friday.
He's a little brain damaged.
Yeah, a little bit. Friday the 19th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't give you a whole lot of time. So hurry it up.
So get emailing.
But this was too cool. We had to give it away in episode 200.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
After our probably my favorite episode of Stargate SG-1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Episode 200.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Episode 200.
Yep.
One of the best ones there.
Because spinning is so much cooler than not spinning.
All right, folks. Right in. Enter, and we'll be back with more pod culture right after we dial the gate back home.
If Brad was really thinking ahead, he would have given away an episode 300, and it would have stayed on his desk until then.
Oh.
Jericho. A small, ordinary Kansas town. Normal, until something happened.
All right, it looks like the explosion came from the west, maybe Denver.
What if it was an attack, Sheriff? And there's chaos out there? You might not want the wrong people knowing that Jericho was still here.
I love the community feel of everybody having to work together after this big disaster. And even though they have their own problems, they come together when they have to.
Now we can get the power back on. We can find out how big this thing is. If we have to, we can fight. We can fight anybody. We can fight all enemies. The only way that's going to happen is if we work together.
Fans have already been vocal about this series, but it's time to give them a new voice.
Having grown up on SAC bases, that's Strategic Air Command bases, nuclear war was a reality for me. When I first saw the previews for Jericho, I was really interested to see how Hollywood was going to portray what happened after a nuclear event.
Join your hosts, Heidi, Suzanne, and Larissa, for Future Traditions, a podcast devoted to all things Jericho.
We're just holding on to these traditions like nothing happened out there?
We're holding on to these traditions because of what happened out there.
Find us at www.jerichopodcast.com. .blogspot.com.
You know, with it being the Lenten season,
I knew that was coming.
And you know, all the religious fervor that it comes up about this
fervor.
Time.
Fervor. You make it sound like a cult. No,
some people might think it is.
No, you think it is.
No, I'm just saying that it's just. Christianity in general, people would say that. What better time to feel a little guilty?
And can I say though, if you are, you pretty much feel guilty
a lot of the time.
Yeah.
What better time to feel a little bit guilty than with guilty pleasures? Glenn, what do you have? Course, this time I'm almost afraid.
I know.
Well, a little bit of a hesitation there.
You know, the name Roger Corman's been popping up a lot lately.
Oh dear Lord, Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Roger Corman's Fantastic Four. That's a good one.
Best thing about that was the movie poster.
Yeah. Well, actually, Sci-Fi Channel's going to be running some of his movies. I think it's Dino Shark or something like that is coming up. But the big one everyone's talking about...
Sharktopus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's causing a big stir on the internet. Everyone's talking about Sharktopus. There's people singing fan songs.
Some of the designs weren't bad.
And,
I mean, it's like...
Sharktopus.
Can I need Sharktopus. Sharktopus.
Well... They're still working on that one, so I don't know. I didn't watch that. But I did watch something I've talked about a couple times on the show before. You know, I finally got a copy of Battle Beyond the Stars.
Yay!
And,
Christ almighty.
I had to sit down and watch that today, actually.
Very good.
At work.
At work, yeah. Well, lunch break. Yeah, that's it.
Take it.
And, you know, I saw the movie when it came out. Saw it at the theater. And I remember watching it, you know, on Sundays on 41 or whatever, and locally. And of course, I thought it was cool when I was a kid. And then seeing it again years later, I thought, yeah, you know, pretty cheesy. But still, I had fond memories of it. But watching it again today, I have to tell you, I was pretty impressed. I don't know what it was. I actually... liked it better than probably the last time I saw it. You know, you'd think that it's older, it's cheesier, it's...
It's well-aged cheese.
Yeah.
Glenn, stuff like Stargrove, Robo-Vampire.
Yeah.
Shit like that has Swiss cheesed your brain enough.
That's probably it.
To where you've forgotten how bad it truly was.
Yeah, I've seen so much worse stuff since then, I guess, that I can appreciate
it. Built up an immunity.
I definitely done that.
Like, you know, cheese improves with age.
Which never made any sense.
Me neither. I agree.
So has anyone else ever seen this? Battle Beyond the Stars?
I've heard of it.
I've heard Battle of the Network Stars.
Oh, I think I'd rather watch too. Battle of the Stars.
Battle Beyond the Stars.
Battle Beyond the Stars. Either way, it's all bad.
This is from 1980.
Aww.
It was Roger Corman's biggest budget movie up to that point. $2 million.
Wow.
But they really stretched it. I mean, all the costumes and props and special effects and sets and everything. Obviously inspired by the Star Wars phenomenon. Mm-hmm. You know?
Phenomenon.
Big cast of characters. Lots of people that had either done things before or went on to do bigger things. The star of it, the Luke Skywalker of the piece, is Richard Thomas.
Oh, God, John Boy.
John Boy.
Aww.
From the Waltons.
He was in It. He was scary. Okay.
Does anyone know Robert Vaughn?
Sounds familiar.
Napoleon Solo from The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
The tip of my brain.
Is that it? You don't know?
No.
John Saxon. Get it on John Saxon. Come on.
I know who Harold Saxon is.
I was gonna say,
Harold.
I don't know any Harold Saxon.
Prime Minister?
Doctor Who.
John Saxon. He was, what's his name? Lieutenant Thomas. Oh, no, Lieutenant Thompson in A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh.
I'm sure. Oh, well.
You know how long it's been since I watched A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah. I bought the box set last Halloween, but I haven't watched him yet. I don't know. Here's one, you know. George Peppard.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Exactly. He was also Banachek, but he was
Did
Hannibal.
Did he have a cigar and come out with a creature in a black lagoon?
I can't wait to see that movie. Okay, sorry.
It's 18.
Oh, my
God. Movie.
I'm so excited.
John Saxon plays the bad guy named Sador.
Oh.
George Peppard is Space Cowboy.
He's Mal?
Seriously. I mean, he's from Earth. And he watches old Western movies all the time. Uh-huh. And so he wears a cowboy hat.
Uh-huh.
And he's drinking and smoking. And
that's kind of cool.
Kick back, listening to country music. He's Space Cowboy. Someone we talked about here recently, Sybil Danning.
Oh, my God.
Remember Sybil Danning from Your Sister's a Werewolf?
Uh-huh.
She plays a Valkyrie named Saint X-Men. A Valkyrie, she's basically a Valkyrie. Who's, you know, loves battle and stuff.
She's an X-Men?
Well, that's her last name, okay. X-Men. And she's got a very skimpy, cool costume.
No.
Of course. And there's actually a small part with Marta Kristen. Remember Marta Kristen? Judy Robinson from Lost in Space.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. So those are the big characters that were in it. There's all sorts of things. There's aliens that are all like clones of each other. They have a hive mind. There's mutants. There's androids. There's...
Did they dream of electric sheep?
Yeah. Anything you can imagine. What's that? No.
Did they go to Silicon Heaven?
Basically, it's the Magnificent Seven in space, or the Seven Samurai in space, if you want to go back that far. So it's that formula. There's a peaceful colony world, and they're actually very religious, which was kind of interesting. You don't see that in movies a lot, but they're a very religious world. And John Saxon comes along in his big spaceship, and he's like, you know, you're going to bow down to me, you're going to be my subjects, or I'm going to come back and destroy you. And so...
like the Ori.
So John Boy...
Yeah.
So John Boy gets in... Yeah. So John Boy gets in a ship that the bad guy didn't know was there.
John Boy, I love that.
It's this old ship.
I'm just imagining this rusted out ship. Looks like an old pickup truck.
Actually, the ship has a female computer personality, or
AI. Is she snarky?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Her name's Nell.
Nell.
And
Nell.
The funny thing about the ship is, and I remember this from maybe not noticing it as a kid, but seeing it last time before this, I remember. The ship, if you look at the design, it's really this funky ship. The top of it looks kind of like the character Hammerhead from Star Wars or something. I mean, oh, you know, it's this brown ship. It's kind of weird. But the front of it looks like it's got these great big boobs.
Of course. Of course.
Oh, wow.
So, let's see. Basically, John Boy takes the ship, Nell. I'm sorry, he's John Boy, poor guy, you know? He's always going
to
be John Boy.
Does the computer say goodnight to him at the end of the movie?
No. His name's Shad. It's not John Boy.
I like okay. John Boy. Yeah,
I'll call him John Boy. So... This ship is the last of the Corsairs. There's this like old man that used to pilot it, and he's the only one that's willing to get out there and fight, but he's old and can't do it anymore. And so he lets John Boy take the ship.
Aww.
And they go and recruit basically gunfighters. They go and recruit mercenaries to come protect the planet from the evil John Saxon, you know.
Cool.
So it's it's pretty crazy. There's lots of cool, I mean, you got to think it's 1980, so there are all the model effects shots, you know, and lots of explosions and things. Things that I really noticed was like sound effects, like computer sound effects and things from like $6 Million Man.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like I know that sound. That's hardwired in my brain from being a kid. You know?
I've run into, you know, watching cheap sci-fi movies where they've lifted sound effects and stuff before.
And when their ships fire, the blasters sound just like the ships from Battlestar Galactica.
Aww.
So it's like, I know that too. Wow, that's cool. But even if you haven't seen this movie, there's a decent chance that you've seen the special effects from it. Because I went on IMDb and there's a list here of these effects were edited into... What is it? Astron Belt, the 1983 video game.
Oh, my gosh.
A movie called Space Raiders from 1983. Mm. A movie called Prison Ship from 1987. Something called Andy Colby's Incredible Adventure from 1988. Not of This Earth in 1988, which I remember renting that when it came out and saying, those are effects from...
Oh, gosh.
That's funny. And the movie Vampirella from 1996.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Yeah, when they show, you know, because Vampirella's from another planet. Even though she's a vampire, she's from a vampire planet. And the spaceship scenes are from this movie. So all those... And another movie called Star Portal in 1998. So all those movies saved a lot of money by, you know, getting the stock footage.
That's
from...
That's awfully brave to take a movie's footage from 18 years prior and editing it in.
That's Nell.
In a Roger Corman movie, no less.
I found a picture of Nell. Not that it helps our listeners, but it'll give you an idea of...
Is Nell well-endowed there?
Yep. A little well-endowed, I think.
Yeah, that is... You know, from this kind of angle, it looks like a nutsack.
A little bit.
Seriously. Good Lord.
Look it up. Google it.
And then scrub your eyes.
Another movie I always liked.
Or go be in your bunk if you're so inclined.
Oh my God. Speaking of mercenaries.
You remember Tom Hanks' greatest movie ever? Bachelor Party.
Oh. I'm like, big.
1984. There's a sequence at the end of the movie where they're watching a 3D movie. And it's actually scenes from
Oh my gosh,
Battle Beyond the Stars.
So, just gee, everything comes back around, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Apparently, and I didn't catch this, but I got it off IMDb. Apparently, Robert Vaughn's character is based on, like, very strongly on the gunfighter character that he played in The Magnificent Seven.
Cool.
Really?
So they said they actually borrowed some lines from the movie.
Oh, I like that.
So he basically reprised his role in the sci-fi version.
That's neat. That's cool. I like that.
So that's a pretty neat little trivia bit there.
Huh.
Something else. There was a guy that had worked with Corman before who got promoted to art director for this movie. He just made a movie you may have heard of. It was called Avatar. That's right.
CGI has come a long way.
Yes. Yeah. So James Cameron,
Smurfs meet Dances with Wolves.
He met
Stands with Fist.
Gail Ann Hurd on this movie, who he eventually married, and they made the Terminator movie together and Aliens.
Wow.
Yeah. So they both worked on this. Another little bit of trivia here. It says that. A few of the scenes of Sybil Danning and her spaceship, her top was a little more exposed than they liked, so they superimposed some extra control panels in front of her so you couldn't see it. Yeah, that's her outfit.
That's her outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of skimpy.
She had two different outfits, but...
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's one of them. Yeah.
How do you fight in that?
Why would you superimpose over that?
I don't know. Yeah. They didn't care about ratings in those days, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, this movie's out of print on DVD. I missed it when it came out. But I just heard some good news. There's a company called...
It's coming out on LaserDisc.
Shout Factory. No, not LaserDisc. There's a company called Shout Factory, which just signed a contract with New Horizon Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be releasing, like, 50 Roger Corman movies
on
DVD and Blu-ray. And there's
Did you get it on Blu-ray?
I will get it on
Lucky
Blu-ray.
Lucky us.
Eventually. When it's eventually... released, but so Battle Beyond the Stars. Cool. I finally got my fix.
I'm glad.
And, I highly recommend it, and I'll try to let everybody know when it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray again, so that they can run out and get a copy or two.
So you got it from Netflix, you said?
No, fan listener sent
it. Oh, okay.
To me.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's
Thank
currently
you.
Unavailable. Yeah.
Cool.
That's cool.
Spiffy.
Awesome. Awesome. Huh. Awesome.
So you guys missed out. See, I should have forced you to watch it with me.
Yeah.
I think what we watched was a little more fun. All right. Let's take a break and maybe see if we can find some sugar or something.
Or sugar substitute.
Or something.
No.
No.
Or sugar substitute?
No.
What?
No sugar substitute.
No.
Oh, no. We saw how well that turned out on Candy Day.
Oh.
And we will be back with more Pod Culture. Right after we caffeinate ourselves. Alrighty, folks, get ready for a whole new world of hurt. Thanks to the fine folks over at Farpoint Media, Pod Culture has a shiny new contest. One lucky listener can win a copy of the new Marvel animated DVD, Planet Hulk. Betrayed by Earth's heroes and exiled into outer space, the man-monster Hulk has landed on the distant planet Sakaar, ruled by the tyrannical Red King. Sold into slavery, Hulk becomes the Green Scar, the planet's mightiest gladiator. But his new masters get more than they bargained for. So if you want to win a copy of your very own, well, we're going to make it easy peasy for you here at Pod Culture. all you have to do is email us. Be sure to email contest@podculture.net with your name and your mailing address. Now, this is a Region 1 encoded DVD, so please keep that in mind if you're outside of the United States and want to enter. All entries will need to be received by March the 12th, and the winner will be announced in Pod Culture's 200th episode shortly afterwards. Hey guys, this is Brad. This is where we take a little bit of a break. Remember, Pod Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts, and then sent down the podcast feed weekly. So tune in again, same time next week, for another geek-filled episode of Pod Culture.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
And if you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are a few different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That is 812-672-4763. For Pod.
Leave us a comment on the website, podculture.net, or in our forums located at farpointforums.com.
So drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3. Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.